what the angel said. Here's the verse of scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So we are taking that passage of scripture, and from it we are basically studying these three things: glory to God in the highest, which we talked about last week, on earth peace, and then next week, Lord willing, goodwill toward men. These are the three things that the Bible says the angels, or the heavenly host that was with the angel, said in regards to the birth of Jesus. And so we're taking those three different things and we're focusing upon it now for the next 2 weeks. Now, how many of you want a rematch concerning the Christmas Carol challenge that we had last week? What's that? You did think of a new one with glory in it? Oh, okay. Well, that was last week. Are you ready? Who went first last time? You guys, the right went first last time, right? All right. So, round two, Christmas Carol competition. Now it's peace. So, remember, here are the rules. Left against the right, my left, your right. You got that? My left, which is your right, against my right, which is your left. You got that? Clear as mud. No using your phone. We're going to get that out there. No cheating. No cheating in the house of the Lord. So what we want to do is, anybody from this side, all you have to do is think of a Christmas carol with the word peace and either stand and begin singing that line or say the line and tell the name of the song. So it's pretty easy. It's pretty simple. It looks like Brother Alex is ready to go already. So on your mark, get set, go. Woo! All right. Right side. And that is... What's the name of the song? All right. Back to the left. The competition is not a singing competition. It's a carol competition. So you have to get the carol. All right. Countdown. Oh, we've only got two carols that have peace in it. Left side. Away in a Manger. Yeah, actually it was Silent Night. It wasn't Away in a Manger. It was Silent Night. Oh, there's a hint. You might want to sing. No? Countdown. I mean, it's going to go back to the right. They may win again. 10. They sang Silent Night. Where? That's Silent Night. Sleep in heavenly peace. That's Silent Night. 10, 9, he's just doing the countdown. He's not even thinking about carols anymore. All right, back to the right. Do you have a carol that has peace in it? And you're cheating, aren't you? DQ, disqualified by default. By default, left side wins. Wow. Two carols with peace in it. You know what? I didn't even look it up prior to tonight. So I was just going on the faith that you guys would come up with more than two carols that had peace in it. Moving on. All right. The subject is needed, obviously. Peace on earth. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. What is the Bible talking about when it says peace on earth, or on earth peace, as the actual translation is? Well, it literally, and it's going fast, literally means as one, peace, quietness, rest, or pay particular attention here, tranquility in order. That's what that the translation of that word peace means. It actually literally means tranquility and order. In other words, it's not just the absence of conflict or tension. It's actually tranquility and order. It's a rest or a unity, a oneness that comes as a result of having things in the right order. Now, as we talked about last week, that's the reason why the first thing that was heralded was glory to God in the highest. In other words, we understand for there truly to be peace, things have to be in order. And in order for things to be in order, there's somebody that's got to be at the top. Someone who is to receive all glory, all honor, all praise, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in understanding what the angels heralded, they're saying, they're proclaiming this birth of Jesus Christ, and they're doing so by saying glory to God in the highest. And we understand that they're not just saying that in reference to praise or worship unto God, but they are identifying the order, glory to God in the highest. In other words, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He is the first and the foremost. Glory to God in the highest. And as a result of having things in order, as a result of putting Him first, then we have peace on earth, or on earth peace. There's tranquility in that order. Now, as we participate in the chaos that is the Christmas season, this seems somewhat contradictory. We sing about peace on earth. We get Christmas cards that say peace on earth. We sing two carols that have peace in them. But it's chaotic. It's the hustle and bustle of the season, man. It's trying to do this and trying to do that. And I, for one, when I thought about all that's going on in my life right now, and moving and family coming and all the things that are happening and the weather and going here and doing this and trying to make this happen and trying to be a part of this, I thought to myself, wow, I'm not really living this out in my own life. There's not enough quietness or peace or rest because there's so much going on, and the only way that I'm ever going to have some peace is to make sure I keep things in order. To make sure that just because I'm tired or I'm busy or I got other things going on, that I don't put those things ahead of doing what I should do in reference to God. He still remains first. I'm not too busy to pray. I'm not too busy to read my Bible. I'm not too busy to do those things which places Him first, which puts Him in the highest place. Because if I'm careful in all the hustle and bustle and all the trying to get things done and to make sure the calendar's together, so on and so forth, I better make sure that He's at the top of the calendar. I know. I've heard people say, well, you know, preacher, the only time I got to do Christmas shopping is on the weekend, and that conflicts with church. And I think to myself, wow, really? How does that give glory to God in the highest? And how is that going to facilitate? What kind of message does that send? I've got to have the understanding that there's an order, and there's tranquility in that order, and there's rest and quietness in that order. It was kind of funny. Somebody was talking about all the stuff that was going on and things that were happening, and I jokingly looked at them and said, well, you know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Because in some sense, yes, it certainly is, and we celebrate the season. But in other sense of the word, it's just like, man, it's finally going to get some breathing room once Christmas is past, you know. And I'm just being human here. I'm just saying that we understand because of the season and everything that's happening, and we're nearing the end of the year, and we're planning for 2017, and we've got all these things happening. But the only way that you and I are truly going to have peace on earth is to make sure we keep things in the proper order, to make sure that our perspective is still right, and that He still has preeminence in our life. There's still glory to God in the highest, and as a result of placing Him first, guess what? I can have peace, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of all the stuff that's going on. I can still have peace. I can still enjoy the season. I can still understand and have some quietness and rest in my soul. Even while I feel like I'm burning the candle at both ends, I can still have peace with God. Remember, peace is tranquility and order. So in order for there to be tranquility, there must be order. This is why the first things herald is glory to God in the highest. We just talked about that. In the midst of the chaos, I can be at peace because Jesus makes peace possible in the life of a believer. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Because of Jesus, you and I can have peace in our lives. Because, and we're gonna talk about the application of this peace, or how this peace applies to us in some different facets. And that's really the focus. That's the crux of the study tonight. This on earth peace, or this peace on earth. What is that really relating to? The tranquility and order, the having rest and quietness, and even in the midst of chaos and this world, how can I as a believer have peace? And how is that peace applied to my life? Because of what Jesus did, and because that he came and he died for me and he gave his life for me, how do I have peace through that? Well, let's talk about that. This peace that we're talking about is going to come in three ways, if you will. Peace with God, peace of God, and peace with men. Peace with God, the peace of God, and peace with men. That's the type of peace. That's what the angel's referring to. On earth, peace. On earth, tranquility and order. On earth, what we lost in Adam, we are going to gain back in Jesus Christ. The disorder and the chaos, that sin that resulted as a result of sin. Now, you and I, through Jesus Christ, what we lost in Adam, we can gain back through Jesus Christ. Where we were at odds, if you will, or in conflict. That's why the Bible says that we have a reconciliation through Jesus Christ. That before Jesus Christ, there may have been atonement, but there was no reconciliation. There was no way for you and I to be reconciled unto God. There was no way for you and I to truly have peace with God. Because sin caused division and conflict. And so in order for there to be reconciliation, it had to come through a sacrifice. It had to come through the way that God ordained. And so you and I now have opportunity through Jesus Christ to have peace with God. Prove it to you. Let's look at this peace with God, or this spiritual peace. Look at Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When the angel, or the heavenly host with the angel, made the announcement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We also understand that the angels were identifying that this baby was going to be the epitome, the ultimate example of giving glory to God in his life. And we know that by the life that he lived, and that through him, you and I have peace with God. There would be peace on earth. That's why the prophet Isaiah said, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Because of Jesus Christ, you and I no longer have to be at odds with God. Even though we are unholy and unrighteous in and of ourselves, and could never have communion or relationship with a holy, perfect God, because of Jesus Christ, because of the greatest gift that has ever been given, you and I now have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that we, through him, are reconciled unto God. And we stand before God justified, not by our works, not by what we do, but we stand justified before God because of Jesus Christ, because he came and he died for our sins. And so the heavenly host was announcing, they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and now on earth, peace. On earth, there's peace. On earth, there's an opportunity now. On earth, peace. Not only does it give us peace with God, but it gives us the peace of God. Not only are we reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, but now, not only do we have spiritual peace in being reconciled unto God through Jesus Christ, but we also have psychological peace. We also have the peace of God. Even in the midst of chaos and turmoil, even in the midst of life being turned upside down and things going this way and that and not really being somewhat pulled at both ends and wondering, we can still, even in the midst of chaos, we can still have a psychological peace that says, I know everything's going to be all right. I still know He holds it all. I still know I have the peace of God. Look at what Jesus said in John 16:33. These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We need to understand that because of Jesus Christ, the heavenly host that announced the birth of Jesus, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. They're announcing that His words, this boy is going to grow to be a man, and the words that He says and what He says unto you, it's going to bring you peace. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But behold, I go and prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And in this world that we live in the chaos and the turmoil and all the things that are happening, guess what? I still recognize this world is not my home. I still recognize I've got a greater destination. I still recognize that because of Jesus Christ, even in the midst of this world, I can still have peace. I can still look toward heaven and understand I'm going there one day, and I'll suffer through whatever I have to suffer through. But even in the midst of the suffering and even in the midst of the tribulation, I can still have psychological peace in my mind. I can have the peace of God. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. You and I have opportunity. You and I can, through Jesus Christ, have peace in our heart and in our mind. I can have peace. I can be at peace. Maybe you've had it said to you before, and rightly so. Well, how do you, all this going on, and maybe there's drama playing out in your life, and they say, well, you seem to be at peace with it all. You seem to be handling it all pretty good. And I would that we would never think, well, that's upon my own intellect, or that's upon my own ability, but that we would give credit and glory to God in the highest and say, hey, that's only because of the God I serve. He's able to give me peace in the midst of this situation. He's able to give me peace in the midst of this circumstance. And though people in the world would respond differently, and they it would be chaotic and life would be so fragmented for them, I'm able to keep it all together, not in and of myself, but because of the greatest gift ever given, because of Jesus Christ, I can have peace in my heart and in my mind. I just don't understand it. Well, I don't understand it all. It's peace that passes all understanding. But I do know this, somehow it keeps my heart and it keeps my mind. While I may drive other people to do crazy things, and I had opportunity to talk with a young man a little while ago, and I told him he was going through a lot of stuff in his life, and he was dealing with a lot of stuff and stuff that he never thought he'd have to face. And I told him, I said, what you need to understand is this. I said, I know you recognize now, as a result of this situation, that you need something in your life. You need something to help you through this situation. I said, but what you ultimately have to realize is that it's not just about a situation. It's not just about a certain circumstance. You need God always. You don't need Him just for this circumstance. You don't need Him just to help you out of this predicament. You need Him always. You need Him to be a better person. You need Him to be a better companion. You need Him all the time. It's not just, and so many people, they have what we commonly term jailhouse religion. It's just a result of the circumstances they're in, and all of a sudden they want to turn to God. But when things begin to come back to order, if you will, they think, well, everything's okay. But no, you need to understand it's not. The cycle will perpetuate, and you'll once again find yourself in this situation. So what you need to understand is you need God to give you peace and help and strength. Peace of God. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. even in the midst of this. And then finally, peace with men. This is relational peace. Not only would Jesus bring peace with God and the peace of God, He would bring peace with men. He would bring relational peace. Peace with my brother and my sister. Peace with those that are around me. 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." See, we need to understand that God does not ever author confusion. He doesn't author confusion. If I'm dealing with confusion and chaos, it's not God that authored it. But guess what? He is the author of peace. He's not the author of confusion, but of peace. You see, He writes peace, if you will, in my heart and in my life. And He helps me to have peace with my brothers and my sisters. And here's the thing about peacemaking. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Here's the thing, and here's why we a lot of times struggle, and there is conflict, and there is tension, because we don't place God first. Because we don't understand that His way is always the right way. And Jesus said this, "Listen, if you want to come and bring a gift, but you've got aught with your brother, what you need to do is first go and be reconciled unto your brother, and then come and bring your gift to the altar." You see, here's the thing. It's a cycle. When I put God in the highest position in my life and say, "Lord, your way is the right way," then the Lord says, "Well, then you're a peacemaker. And so go and make peace." You know what? It's sad also to know that sometimes in the holiday season, that families and relatives and loved ones, they dread being around certain family members, and they don't want to be around certain because of what they do or what they say. There's just, man, it's always tension, and always getting into an argument or discussion, and it's just, I know what's going to happen. It's just it's quarrelsome and all these situations. Wait a second. God's not the author of confusion, but He's an author of peace. And you and I, as believers, should understand that He gives me the power through Him to have relational peace with my brother or with my sister. But understand this. It doesn't mean that I'm a doormat. It doesn't mean that I just let somebody walk all over me. But it does mean that I facilitate peace. And here's something we need to understand. A lot of times we're looking for resolution when what we really need is reconciliation. It's a difference. Well, if this is it, then we can... Listen, you're never going to get, rarely will you ever get, total resolution. But I tell you what, if you work towards reconciliation, you say, "Listen, we may not resolve this, but guess what? You're still my brother. You're still my family. You're still my relative." And how many family gatherings could be repaired or helped or better facilitated, and there to be less tension and less conflict and more peace in the particular situation if someone would step up and say, "I'm going to be a peacemaker. I'm not so concerned about resolution. I don't care if you ever do it right or not. That's not what it's about. It's about being reconciled." And this is the thing. I'm not going to sit there with my arms folded and scowl on my face until you make it right. I'm going to make it right. I'm going to do whatever I can to be reconciled to that individual and say, "Hey, I love you, and I want you to know I want you around this time of year, and we need to be together as family." Sad. One of the things I treasure very much about my life is that when my family gets together, we have such a good time. I treasure those times. I'm so looking forward to the house and everything that's happening in our lives. But there's a part of me that I know as a result of this, I'm not going to be with my family for Christmas. And I know there's a part of me that says, "Wow, I really like to be with my family for Christmas," because there's just that closeness. However, there's Some families that don't have that. Some families that they just can't seem to have peace. They just can't seem to get together without causing a rift and all this stuff going on. And I think to myself, wow, do you understand? He came for peace on earth. And with this season that we celebrate, we would be remiss to allow something in our life of an individual or a family member to cause conflict where we can't have peace with that person, and we can't celebrate the season together, and we can't celebrate the one who brought peace on earth. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace, who hath both won and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. I realize that the scripture is talking in reference to our relationship with God, but it also indirectly speaks to our relationship one with another. That no matter what is in between us, no matter what the wall is, it may be dividing individuals or people. Guess what? Through God, the wall can be broken down. Through God, he can destroy that middle wall of partition. He can destroy whatever it is that is dividing us. And we can be reconciled to our brother. We can be reconciled to our sister. We can be reconciled to our family member. And we can enjoy the season together at peace. That's God's will. Because of Jesus, we have peace with God for salvation, spiritual peace. We have the peace of God for comfort in a chaotic world, and we have the peace with men for reconciling relationships. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. Lord willing, next week we'll talk about goodwill toward men. Because I've placed God first and foremost in my life, I have peace. I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Spiritual peace. I have the peace of God in my heart and in my mind, psychologically, and I have peace with my brothers and my sisters. And this prompts me to do good toward men. This prompts me to act and to respond. One of the things I do enjoy a lot about the Christmas season is that You see people, many people who give, and it's not given out of selfish intent. It's not given out of any want or respect to what they get in return. It's just simply giving. It's just simply doing goodwill. It's not about what I'm going to get in return. It's not about how it's going to be recompensed unto me. It's simply, I'm going to do goodwill. I'm going to do good for somebody. I'm going to. The Bible said this about Jesus, that he went about doing good. Oh, that I could be like him. Oh, that I could be like him. That as a result of placing God first and foremost in my life, I have peace. And as a result of that peace, I'm not so worried. I'm not just seeking my own. I'm not after this. I'm not after that. I'm at peace. And in that peace, I'm doing good toward my fellow man. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. It would be the most wonderful time of the year if we harked what the herald angels sang. If we placed God first, glory to God in the highest, we had peace on earth. I'm not talking about that, you know, beauty pageant. Let's feed the hungry and peace on earth. I'm talking about a true peace, the peace with God, the peace of God, and the peace that causes me to reconcile relationships with my brothers and my sisters. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Lord Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, look into your word, God. Lord, I pray that, God, I know it's kind of made it somewhat cliche, God, but that we would truly hark the herald angels saying, that we would understand that we have opportunity because of what you've done, because of the ultimate sacrifice you gave, because of the life that you live, God, we have opportunity, Lord, to place you first and foremost in our life, to have peace with you, Lord, to have your peace in our heart and our mind, Lord, and to make peace with our fellow man, to reconcile relationships, God. Oh, the greatest gift somebody could be given would be forgiveness this season. The greatest gift that someone could be given, Lord, is just acceptance, Lord, and allowing that individual, God, to be reconciled unto them, God. Not always looking for resolution or to solve it, God, but to simply say, I love you in spite of it, and I reach to you to be reconciled unto you. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we honor you, God, for who you are and what you do, in your name that is above every name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You may go in the precious name of Jesus Christ.